You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Our final guest is Joy Roberts from Sophisticato. Joy, before we, as with the other guests, before we talk about what you're currently doing, it's just nice to know a bit about your background. So what's brought you to this point of your life?
Well, for many years, I've worked for a company that's based in Stoke-on-Trent, and I've worked from home. Started off on a self-employed basis and then eventually became a part of the furniture, as it were, but still based at home. But I got to the point where I knew that my long-term security was just not there. So I started to look around for something that I could do instead. And at my age, that was a bit difficult.
21?
thank you very much. I turned 60 in 2016.
Wow, you don't look it at all.
That's a kind of difficult age to sort of find yourself in a position where you've got to start looking for another job.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially when I'd been, you know, so independent working from home all that time.
What was the role, actually? Obviously, you said about the company.
Well, I had various roles in the time that I was there, but at the time that I left, I was the business development manager for them. I used to do export as well, so I travelled to North America and so on as well. And I loved it. Yeah. I loved it was an art pottery company, and I loved the product and so on, and I loved the whole kind of industry. And I was so for many years I've been involved in and around retail and sort of high end giftware and that sort of thing, and that had brought me into contact with jewellery, I was also involved to a certain extent in helping to develop a range of jewellery for this particular company, ceramics. Using ceramics. That's my background.
Yeah.
But I also have always had a real interest in style. And I had two daughters. So, you know, you can't help but have an interest in fashion and style when you've got two daughters.
Sure.
It was kind of like trying to find a way to sort of combine, you know, all my interests and use some of my experience. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go with jewellery. But I wanted it to be something that was going to be appealing to women of a sort of slightly older market. So, you know, the youngsters have got their H&Ms and their Accessorize and their Topshops and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To go and buy their fashion jewellery. So I wanted something that was kind of a little bit more sort of sophisticated, but... had a kind of nod towards fashion. So, you can forget your twin sets and pearls as you get to sort of like 50 plus or whatever. But, you know, you still want to look stylish.
Yeah. I think the name's great, actually.
Sophisticato.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It kind of embraces what you're trying to get across.
Well, it does. Yeah, I hope it does.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, some of my customers are young because a lot of some of the designers do actually design, you know, with young people in mind. But it's not the real kind of like extreme ends of the fashion. So it's not like what you see on the catwalk necessarily.
Yeah.
But it still has a sort of an element of fashion in it.
So how do you decide what you're going to provide? In other words, who are you going to use? How are you going to source it? How do you do that?
Well, this is where all my experience of retail came in, because obviously I know about all the trade shows, where they are, how to find people, how to source people. I knew people in the jewellery business, so I just tapped into all that knowledge and used the internet, obviously, as a
great
tool. Yeah, research tool. I decided I was going to focus on British design. To start with, I didn't. I kind of like, you know, we all make mistakes when we first start out in business, and it was the first time I'd ever obviously run my own business. And I started to kind of really try and be all things to all people, and I didn't really have a focus. Yeah. And then gradually I kind of worked out that, no, what I really wanted to do was focus on British design, because I came across some really fabulous British designers who weren't terribly well known but produced some really gorgeous pieces.
So is that your niche? Obviously, British design is your niche, but if someone said to you, what's your USP, what would you say was your unique selling point for you, for your business?
I think, for me, it's as I say, it's the marketplace for the more mature woman.
Obviously, you're looking at us when you say that.
Yeah. I think people who kind of like, you know, are more interested in style than in fashion.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Yeah. I think that's where I'm, you know, that's really where I'm kind of like offering a marketplace. And it's really hard on the high street to find places where you can get a really good selection of quality jewellery and a really good variety of styles and so on. So, you know, to because obviously we've all got different style personalities.
Yeah.
So it was trying to sort of amalgamate, really, you know, all this sort of curate collections, if you like, for the more mature women to be able to make a selection, almost as if they were going into, you know, a department store kind of setup. But, you know.
So how are they finding you? I mean, it's not easy to have a website and just sort of expect that day one you switch it on and people come flooding in. It's not like that. Obviously, it's not like having a shop. So how are you sort of finding your clientele?
Well, I'm obviously all over social media.
Okay.
I've got I've got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Pinterest actually is a relatively new one because you can't sort of like do everything all at once. So I've been gradually moving into the different areas. That's been where a lot of the focus has been, actually building awareness. I do a lot of networking.
Do you do live events, for example?
I have done live events, and in fact, I've got live events coming up towards the end of the year, as you say, towards Christmas, at Denby's Vineyard in Dorking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know it yet.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm there next week, actually, for a tour, so that's funny you should say that.
Oh, right. Well, there's a company called Shopfest that put on regular shopping events.
Yeah.
At Denby's, because they've got lots of sort of, you know, capacity for rooms where they do conferences and so on and so forth. So they do these shopping events there, and I've done a couple there now, and they've been very successful. So I'm doing three more towards the end of the year. I don't do a lot of that sort of thing because, to be honest, it's really
hard.
Yeah. Well, it's more the fact that jewellery is so difficult to transport. And it takes such a long time to actually set up displays and then dismantle it all again and so on.
For 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah. So you have to be really, really sure that where you're going to be is, you know, where you're actually going to get a good throughput of people.
So you wouldn't go to Glastonbury? That wouldn't be the sort of client, you know, but something like Denby's.
Yeah.
It's the right client
group. Exactly.
Right demographic.
Exactly. Yes, the right demographic, certainly. Yeah. And I'm also starting to work with stylists. So I've done a few Facebook lives with a stylist, and I'm talking to two or three other stylists about various collaborative projects and so on. Because I really think that because this style is what I'm about, really, in terms of the jewellery. And a lot of people think of style in terms of their clothing, but they don't always think about the jewellery seriously.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, actually, what a transformation jewellery can make to an outfit.
That was one of my questions, actually. Sometimes you can have the same outfit for night and day, and yet by how you accessorise it can literally lift the whole thing, can't it?
Totally. Yeah, that's true.
I'm speaking as if I know what I'm talking about here. Does it sound like I do?
You're an expert.
I probably don't, but it sounds good.
No, it's absolutely true. And you know, many stylists obviously are aware of this, but they are not in a position to be able to necessarily produce jewellery for their clients and things like that. So, there's some discussions going on about workshops together and so on to actually show people how they can accessorise their wardrobe and make the most of the clothes that they've got. And as you say, you can turn them up, you can turn them down, you know, you can turn something which is, you know, just a pair of jeans and a T-shirt that looks very casual, stick on a really sort of like, you know, big statement piece of jewellery or something, and you've got an evening outfit, you know, you're ready for the bar.
Yeah.
And dresses too, you know, if you're working in a corporate sort of environment where you've got to be a little bit sort of subdued, you know.
Conservative,
But then you can just really ram it up for the, you know, and turn those outfits into something really special for the evening. So, you know, there's just so much that jewelry can do. So much that can do that people don't necessarily think about.
And I was going to ask you, Joy, what in your opinion is the most challenging part of being an online retailer these days?
Definitely driving traffic. There's a bit of a misconception, I think, about online retailing, because when people think about online, they tend to think of the Amazons and all the big boys and so on, and they talk about how online is taking sales away from the high street and how the high street's being hit by it and so on. But in actual fact, it is only the big boys that are actually doing that. There's a lot of people like me who are small businesses online. Who, you know, we have to really work very hard for to get people to actually find us. And I think people should actually consider that, you know, they are helping small local businesses, and not be afraid of not go with this whole sort of stigma, which sometimes is attached to online, that it is part of the problem for the high street. The high street's got many other problems which are nothing to do with online.
That's true. Let's start with the high rents.
Yes, exactly. High rents, high rates.
Landlords
are absolutely, you know, the bane of most retailers' lives. With the economy going one way and rents going the other, there's only going to be one thing that happens to the shops on the high street.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge shame, isn't it? You know, you go down any high street and it's the chains that are surviving because they can afford the rents.
Exactly.
And all the independents that might be there to sell the kind of jewellery that you sell just can't afford to be there.
No.
They can't afford the rents, the rates, the, you know...
Exactly.
And to pay the staff.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and it isn't... Being online is not without its costs. There are the fixed costs for being online.
Yeah.
But obviously it's a lot from a business point of view when you haven't got those very, very high costs of rent and rates and so on, then, providing you can actually drive traffic and that's the challenge, then it gives you a much better opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised when I looked at your website at the prices of the jewellery. Is they're really reasonably priced?
Yeah, I do try and keep it to, you know, an affordable level. And I mean, obviously, you know, you can go into, you know, again, the big chains of jewellery stores and so on, and you can pay really quite high prices for things that are actually quite similar to some of the things that I'm selling. And I'm not selling cheap.
No.
You know, they are the real prices.
Yeah, quality, yeah,
yes. I'm sourcing well. It's as simple as that.
I mean, you're obviously quite a creative person. I can see that from the colours that you're wearing, which really match, you know, your complexion, etc., and your eyes. Blue. I'll describe it to you now. It's like a royal blue. Really looks very fetching. Have you thought about doing the jewellery yourself? Like making it yourself?
Making it?
Yeah.
To be honest, I wouldn't have the patience. That's not my forte. It really isn't my forte. And there are so many wonderful designers out there, you know, who've done the training, and, you know, have all the experience. I wouldn't do that now.
Do you, obviously, you know, you're buying in brands and they're existing brands, presumably they've got their own websites.
A lot of them have, yes.
Do you sort of feel that you're competing with them and on their own website? I mean, do you have to, and therefore you've got to keep your prices at the same level as their prices, and if they want to discount, you've got to discount and follow suit?
There's an element of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a bit like the sort of John Lewis, you know, price match thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If I see that somebody that supplies me is having a sale on their website, then I will look closely at what they're doing.
Yeah.
To see whether I should be doing the same sort of thing. But fortunately, it's not the kind of marketplace where there is a huge amount of discounting that goes on. I try to, you know, I mean, I will give discounts from time to time.
Sure.
Where I can, like most people do. And you have end of lines that you want to sort of, you know, get move on so that you can bring in new things and so on. So just like any retailer.
Yeah.
But in a way, it's more like going back to the how it used to be, where, you know, you had sales at the end of a season to move lines on, rather than, you know, the kind of cut price, you know, marketplace that has evolved, which has been, again, one of the problems on the high street.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think, you know, for years and years, the culture's been a sale after Christmas and a sale in the high summer. And then, you know, it got to be the case where so many retailers would discount pre-Christmas to drive Christmas traffic.
Exactly.
And then obviously anyone who's carrying the same brands you know, feels if they don't follow suit, then they're going to lose out because people are Googling around to see, you know, who's got the best deal on that, that item.
And of course, the whole Black Friday thing has been, has really just contributed there, to that whole thing. I didn't join in Black Friday at all last year, and I don't intend to because it's just become, I think it's a lot of the discounting is not genuine anyway.
Absolutely not.
So I just kind of decided to steer clear of all that. And I actually don't feel that I'm competing either with the brands who have their own websites. They're very supportive. There is, I think, maybe, I don't know whether it's just the jewellery trade, but there is a sort of a community, a supportive community, and the brands are quite happy to promote their people who are actually promoting them. So, So I'm actually very clear about which brands I sell on the website. I make no bones about it. I don't hide their names. I'm upfront with it, so people can easily go to their sites and see what they're selling, you know, for what on their sites. But I think that it's important to support the British designers, to support their brands, and there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes they don't have things in stock that I do. Yeah. So you know, there's a kind of quid pro quo. And on social media, you know, they will tag me in things, and I will tag them in things, and it seems to work quite well. Yeah. So I don't really feel that, you know, I don't feel that I'm getting into some kind of battle with them.
Okay, that's interesting.
I feel I must bring this up before we, you know, sort of close all the questions, is the Jammy Dodger necklace. Have you seen the Jammy Dodger necklace, Anne?
I haven't actually.
It's a Jammy Dodger.
Oh, is it?
And it's a necklace. What else can I tell you? It's amazing.
Is it silver and silver with some kind of red?
It's literally like a Jammy Dodger.
It is actually cute. It is a replica.
What's the target market?
I hope you might be wearing that.
No, that was one of the. I'll be perfectly honest. That was one of the first things that I bought. Well, I say first. It was in that batch of first orders. And at that time, I was thinking about appealing as well to young girls. I wasn't focusing on the older market at that point.
Okay.
So I was trying to be all things, as I say, to all people.
Yeah, okay.
So there's a lot of Bourbon or a Jammy Dodger following after.
No. Once that's gone, that's gone. In fact, I'm surprised to hear it's still on the website because I thought I'd take it off. But anyway.
If I will find it.
Yeah.
Anything related to anything sweet, I'm going to be gravitating towards. There you go.
But it's jewellery has been around for like centuries, absolutely centuries, you know. So, I mean, the cavemen were making jewellery, you know, that there is a reason that it's there. And some of it is has special meanings. You can have jewellery that has, you know, that has symbolic meanings, talismans and chakras and all that sort of thing, you know. And apart from sort of, you know, sometimes the religious connotations as well with some pieces, and it can really make you feel different about yourself. Just as, you know, having a bad hair day makes you feel bad inside as well. You lose confidence, and if you know that you haven't quite put your outfit together in the morning, you can not feel quite so confident. If you can put on a piece of jewellery, it can really actually make a difference to how you feel.
Yeah, lift your mood. And
it does,
And convey a kind of image about yourself. So if you want to come across in a particular way, a piece of jewellery can help you do that. But obviously it can equally just reflect your own personality and just be fun and frivolous and so on. But there is a kind of like a more serious side to it in terms of actually...
meanings of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Leather bracelets seem to be in at the moment. Would you say that?
Yes. Nice. So she adorned with them, yes.
Definitely
well, in, yeah, and I these are Boho Betty bracelets, leather wraps, which I absolutely love. And they're absolutely brilliant for sort of, you know, summer and casual outfits and things like that. But yes, leather wraps are definitely in, and tassels obviously are still in.
So you're wearing tassels.
Yeah, tassels. Lovely. And they're again great for summer.
what's the retail experience? So someone orders from your website, how does it arrive? You know, is there sort of nice box to unwrap, or what's
well, most of the designers that I carry also supply their own gift boxes.
Okay.
So usually, and it says on the website clearly that if it comes in a branded gift box. So if a gift box is supplied by the designer, then that's how it'll turn up in a branded gift box. If not, then It'll either come in a little gift bag or in a little pillow box.
Yep. Yeah.
Something like that. So, I mean, I do try and obviously, you know, make it look nice when it arrives.
Sure.
Especially if I know it's for a gift. And I also get people actually coming to me for advice about things as well, which is quite nice. I've had emails from men saying, you know, they want to buy something for their wife or girlfriend or something, and, you know, asking advice.
Obviously not both.
Yeah.
Hopefully not both.
or women sort of saying they're trying to chase down some particular style of necklace or something, and can I help? So there's quite a lot of interaction on the website as well, actually.
I was going to ask you earlier how long you've been doing this.
Well, I started to set it up in 2016.
Oh, okay. So it's quite recent.
But I didn't actually start working on it full time until this week.
Oh, wow.
I was still employed part time up until I was on holiday for 2 weeks sort of at the end of it, but yeah, I'm basically now
it's full time
Sophisticato, I'm full steam ahead. So I've been busy with sort of writing more blogs, because I do have a blog website as well, which there's a link from the website to the blog site. I'm busy sort of writing blogs and trying to get regular newsletters out, which I haven't been doing up till now.
And do you do e-newsletters, so it, you know, drops in your inbox?
Yeah, I haven't been doing very much of it, no. So I intend to do a bit more of that, but not too much, because I hate, obviously, having my inbox bombarded. I won't be doing too much.
So where would you like to take the business moving forward? What's your vision for the future?
Well, I would like to get to the stage where it will... provide me with, you know, a proper income to take me through into, you know, as I say, I was 60 in 2016, so I'm pension poor, so I need an income, and I never wanted to give up work anyway. So as far as I'm concerned, I just want something that I will enjoy working at, you know, right through to, well, how to, like, you know, for as long as I possibly can. And also I want to get my my daughter involved in it.
You're definitely a great advert for what's possible when people sort of say you reach a certain age and then, you know, you're on the scrap heap. You're definitely a great advert for that not being the case.
Well,
you're
thank you. That's
you really are inspiration.
Yeah, thank you.
So sadly, we've reached the end of our interview, Joy. So if listeners want to order from you, can you give us your website?
Yes, it's www.sophisticato.uk, and that's .uk, not .co.uk. Sophisticato.uk.
Do you have your email address as well?
Just joy@sophisticato.uk will find me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. That was Joy Roberts from Sophisticato, getting the words right.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.